Lewis Capaldi. He's been swimming in the sea to get over his fear of fish.
What?
Yeah, it's a good idea when you think about it, really. Well, not really a good idea, but it's courageous. It's not to be afraid of something and to...
Hold on a second now. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I probably am, but I'm just going to put it out there anyway. Do his parents like not own like a fish and chip shop?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, I think they do.
I think they do, yeah. You obviously never worked in it.
You obviously never worked in it. No. Okay.
So. Well, like, I mean, is it possible to be afraid of like live fish and not cod, battered cod?
Yeah, this is true. But I mean, when you go swimming in the sea, when I've been swimming in the sea, I very rarely have encountered a fish.
Uno, I'm sure. Like, that you've seen. Like, I'm sure there's been hundreds swimming around you.
Really? I've never seen. No,
have you never, like, put like, a snorkel on and like, in abroad and gone under and just seen them all just, like, avoiding you and swirling around you and stuff now?
No. I was talking more like Ballybunion or Bundoran. Oh.
Have you been in the sea in Ballybunion?
Yeah.
Have you actually?
Oh, my God. I love going swimming in Ballybunion.
Swimming in the Irish Sea to me is just wow. Well done. I think it takes a certain kind of person to do it. And I just think, Una, congratulations. That's incredible.
Do you know what? It's hard. But then when you're in there, it's actual bliss. And it does. It's like a reset or something and you don't want to come out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say I've ever said the same in the Irish Sea. No way.
Oh, God. We got to get you into the sea now.
No. We're not going to do that. The question is, has it cured his fear at the end of the day? We don't know. We don't know. Maybe it has. Maybe it hasn't.
At least he's trying.
He's trying. And yeah. I'm kind of wondering, like, is that how you go about it? If you've got a fear, do you go, right, let's just do it? But if it's a fear, you probably won't do it.
You see, there's that and feel the fear and do it anyway. But then there's the other side of feel the fear and run away.
what about you?
It's a weird one, actually, because you wouldn't think it. But I have a massive fear of public speaking.
You're doing it right now, no?
But I can't see. I can only see you and Donal. I can't see anyone else. Like, so if I'm on stage and I'm doing a talk, I'm asked. So, for example, a couple of years ago, I was asked to go down to the University of Kerry in Tralee and give a talk to the media students. And I was like, oh God, I don't want to, but I'll do it. I'll feel the fear and do it anyway. So I went down and I walked into the room. And I saw all these faces staring back at me. And I was shaking. My knees were knocking. And I literally went, I have to leave. I have an EpiPen. And I ran outside. Now, it's true. I do have an EpiPen. But I was just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, they were looking at me going, what? So the lecturer came back after me. And I was like, oh, sorry. I get allergic reactions. And I thought I was getting one. I was like, can I just go inside and play them some of the funny phone calls I do? And he was like, yeah, sure.
Oh, no way.
So I just went in and I was like, okay, so... here's me being gas, huh? Right.
That was the talk.
Well, they came up and asked me. Like, they asked me questions afterwards. Like, that's fine. But when you're just having a conversation.
I think you're right. That's not too bad. But yeah.
And also, you feel like I'm just kind of talking at these students out. Like, what, you know, it would be better if they asked me what they wanted to know so I could tell them rather than boring them with stuff. You know?
And did it end up fixing your fear of public speaking?
No, not at all. It made it worse because I'm like, now I can't. I definitely can't. But do you know what? I've done it a few times since then. I've hosted events and stuff. And
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's getting better.
It's easier when you're interviewing someone, but when you're just there by yourself.
It is daunting to be
very daunting.
You're just standing, like, and you feel very exposed or something.
Yeah.
Like, very vulnerable there. Yeah.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Crisps and snakes. Crisps and snakes. Radio people over the years have forced me to eat them, and it's not got over them. I just find them disgusting, and I don't like
them. So you actually have tried to get over the fear and
munched on a crisp? I've had no choice. I've been forced by bosses. You will do this. This is what you do.
Sorry, bosses? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's some sort of workplace abuse or something.
It was probably at the time. But yeah,
you didn't eat it. You just licked it.
Yeah, same thing to me.
Sorry, what crisp did you attempt to...
A salt and vinegar one of some kind.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bit rogue now to start off on, to get rid of the fear, salt and vinegar. Like, already salted, no?
Yeah, that's going in too easy though, Marty.
See, this is people like Una who want me to experience my fear. I've made it worse.
It was so funny watching though, to be fair.
Oh, you saw it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Do I have crisps with me? Oh, no. Why didn't I do this? Damn it. I could have really... Oh, okay. Okay, 087-1102-107. You're listening right now. You've heard Donald try to get over his fear of crisps by having one. It didn't work. Una's... You're public speaking, though. It's come along, hasn't it?
It has it slightly, yeah. I guess. I can talk to someone and interview them, but if I'm standing there on my own and they're looking at me expecting me to say something, I just freeze and my knees start knocking and I'm like, fight or flight. Run, yeah.
And as for Lewis Capaldi, we don't quite know yet if it's worked for him. He did it to try. So have you ever had a fear and just confronted it head on? Chat about fears at the moment. Why? Because Lewis Capaldi has been swimming in the sea to get over his fear of fish. To me, terrible idea. If you're afraid of them, stay away from them. And Lewis Capaldi has obviously been advised that to get over your fear, you have to face it. And that's what we've all been told. But none of us can actually say that that's worked.
No. Are you going to try a fish finger as well if you didn't fancy a swim?
Well, I actually love fish fingers so
They're
much.
They're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would... Afraid of fish. On the topic of fears, Chesney has this to say for us.
Well, just on that there, your body has three stages. So it has a fear, it has fight, flight or avoidance. And it's up to you what one you take.
Fight, flight or avoidance.
Flight, yeah.
but is flight and avoidance not the same thing?
No, because flight you turn up and then leave. Avoidance is just like, so at least you've tried, kind of.
Got you. Oh, so there's something about flight that's kind of in between, where
you did great,
just not as good as you could have done.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's go over to Gem on this.
This whole fear thing has really brought up a big memory for me when I was a kid. I used to be terrified of the dark. And my cousin and a friend thought it'd be a good idea to help me get rid of it by locking me into a dark hallway and getting me to sit down and then run around and like pop out of the dark and scare me. But the crazy thing was that it actually worked. And now I find it actually very difficult to sleep unless I'm in the dark.
Isn't that mad? Like that to me, the whole concept of that, the way they fixed her. Like, what?
Terrifying.
No. Not at all. Being afraid of the dark is definitely a common one for sure. I actually have an interesting one for you that I'd love to know your thoughts on. I have developed a fear for heights. So fear of heights, pretty common out there. A lot of people are afraid of them. But I used to be fine. Like, so when it came to skateboarding and stuff, I used to just throw myself off steps and whatever I could and blah, 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 blah. I've abseiled like down the Aviva Stadium and stuff. Whoa. And then out of nowhere, Death Road in Bolivia. That's like up. You start off in snow and you end in 30 degree heat. So you can imagine looking down over the Amazon. It's crazy. But I'm afraid of them now. And I don't know at what point I went from, oh, this will be grand, this will be fine, to I'm afraid now.
Like, age.
Is it eight?
I'm only joking. I was like, what? I'm only joking.
Listen, Una, we had Annalie in for you last week. She made us feel very old. So, Una, don't you start this messing now.
I will not.
And here's me wondering, like, is there anyone listening right now that can maybe shed a light on that? How do you develop a fear? You know? You weren't afraid of something before and now you are.
Well, you can develop allergies. As well. Yeah. So, you know.
That makes me feel better. Thank you very, very much. 087-1102-107. Mornings with Cooper and Una. Breakfast rolls. Time for Survey Says. Donal, what do you have for us this morning?
40% of adults say they couldn't go 3 days without doing this. What is it?
Shaving.
Oh.
I can't.
That's a good show. Oh, yeah, you're always very clean.
Why?
Because you don't like the stubble.
This to me is long now.
I like it.
Oh,
yeah. You're a fan of beards, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't like this. As in, I'll trim this now to still have a little bit, but to me, it's day four and it's too far.
Wow.
Only four. Like, I woke up a little bit later this morning, it'd be gone. Yeah.
Really different strokes for different folks, I guess. Yeah.
It's not the answer, but it's a good guess.
So, what is, can you hear it again, please? Yeah.
Adults, 40% of adults say they couldn't go 3 days without doing this.
I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say.
Oh, what are you going to say?
Nothing. He thinks I'm going to say something bold. I'm not
going to be in the gutter.
I'm not going to be in the gutter. No. Is it complain?
Oh, yeah, that's our go-to. Makes me feel better. No, it's not complain.
That's way more than 40%. Surely, like, come on.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. This is going to wreck my head now. It's not shaving. It's not complaining. What do you reckon? 087-1102-107. 40% of adults say they couldn't go 3 days without doing this. What do you think it is? Okay, Donal, what did you have for us this morning?
40% of adults say they couldn't go 3 days without doing this. What is this?
What is it? Really quickly, let's go to Sarah.
Good morning, iRadio. Is the answer talking to your mum?
Oh.
Aww.
Good shout.
Oh, no. I can't do that. Yeah. I think that's roughly once every 3 days. I think that's what, the way it works out.
But you speak to your mum once every 3 days?
Yeah, whether it's a little WhatsApp or something. Communicate. Communicate. Do you hear me? Communicate.
That's not enough. It should be every, like, 3 hours.
Come on.
No, seriously.
She doesn't need that. She doesn't want that either.
She does. Yeah, 3 days.
Mum's straight onto me at 5 a.m. every morning. Boom. I'm like, hello, mum.
Yeah, oh, no way. I'm up. Okay, yes. Thank you. All right, guys. I'm a horrible human. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. Like, what's the answer, Donald?
It's not the answer. The answer is 40% of adults say they couldn't go 3 days without looking in a mirror.
Oh.
They just can't do it.
That's every 3 hours. Yeah. There we go. Oh my God. And the fact that I look in the mirror more than I talk to my mom, that says a lot. No, it doesn't say a lot. That's all of us. Huh? That is all of us. Don't you dare start this. We all look in the mirror more than we talk to our own mother.
I speak to my mother 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah,
four.
You look in the mirror. How many times?
Not that often. Do you see the state of me in the morning? Why would I want to be looking at myself?
No? How would you? Are you
on my team? This is iMornings with Cooper and Una.
Breakfast rolled.
Okay, time to play a game of Rhyme It. And like we said earlier on, if you just joined us last week, we had an incredible score of 9. But that doesn't matter. It's all about you today, so it is. We're going to give you a word, and the answer to every word has to rhyme with that word. You will have 30 seconds to answer as many as you can. And the highest score at the end of the week will win the contents of Una's drawers. We should have Sarah, who's in Armagh this morning. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hiya.
What's happening? What's happening now on your Monday morning? Are you having a good one?
I'm having a good one, yeah. I'm just going to work.
And what's work, Sarah?
Social care.
Okay, very good. So you're up and at it early this morning. Did you get up to Anthony over the weekend, celebrate some Valentine's?
No, it was very quiet weekend. I celebrated myself just.
Yeah.
Love it. Yes.
Absolutely love it, Sarah. Okay, have you played along to this game in the car before?
Yeah, I've heard it in the car, yeah.
And you feel pretty confident, right? You're ready to go?
Sure.
Okay, right. Well, I'm going to get the clock ready to go. Una, what's the word for this morning?
Your word today, Sarah, is pin. P-I-N.
Let's go.
You put rubbish in the...
bin.
Cans are made of this.
Pin.
The part of your face below your mouth.
Chin.
Goldfish have these on each side of their body.
Pin.
When you're not fat, you're what?
Pin.
When you and your siblings are born together, you're a what?
Twin.
When you turn around on the spot, you what?
Pin.
A cheeky and over-the-top smile.
Time Grin. Is up. We can't give you the last one there. It was just after the clock. You got a total of 7.
Woo, Sarah, what a performance. And for a Monday as well, girl, you're on fire.
Wow.
7.
Yeah, very, very good. Oh, you know, it wasn't 8, was it? It was in after the clock.
Was it after, yeah.
I don't know.
I'd give it to you, Sarah, but there's two, yeah. There are two miseries here beside me.
Hang on a second. I asked the question because I wanted to give it.
That's a bit miserable.
It's so miserable, isn't it?
Sarah, please. Please, Sarah, come on. I can change, please. Give me a chance, Sarah.
No, you can't now, you said it.
What? Donald said it, what? Sarah, if you're top of the leaderboard at the end of the week, you'll win what's in Una's drawers.
I'll make sure there's some goodies in there now, Sarah, if you do.
I love purple snacks.
Oh, yeah.
They're my love language.
Yeah, I love it. Sarah, have a great day at work, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Don't worry, we've squashed in all the crack and served it up here.
Mornings with Cooper and Una.
Breakfast rolled.
Auntie Una, how you doing?
How you doing?
This is my first time doing this with you.
It's your first time? Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, I get to give my 2 cents, as do you, as does everyone else.
Okay.
So we're inviting everyone to help this this listener who has emailed. And they said, hi, Auntie Una. I'm in a bit of a tricky situation and need some help. I recently moved into a house where I'm renting a room from a family. It's all great and the family are respectful and friendly. The problem is their older daughter who lives at home. She made it pretty clear that she was attracted to me. I tried to brush it off at first, but she kept suggesting we go out. So I caved in and agreed to be polite and avoid making things awkward in the house. In hindsight, that was probably a mistake. Since then, she seems to think it's the start of something serious. She's constantly texting me, knocking on my door to hang out and making comments about our future. I've tried to gently hint that I'm not looking for anything, but she doesn't seem to be taking the hint. The last thing I want to do is cause tension with the family or make my living situation uncomfortable, but it's already started to feel that way. I also don't want to lead her on or be unkind. Moving out isn't really an option financially right now. How do I firmly but respectfully draw a line without it blowing up in my face at home, feeling very awkward under this roof? Whoa, that's a lot. That's a lot of awkwardness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. And okay, so it's a real tricky situation to be in, because financially they're kind of like stuck in the situation, but they don't want to upset the girl.
Yeah.
To make it awkward in the house. There's a couple of things that I think you can do in this situation.
Oh, okay. I'm excited to hear these because I wouldn't have a clue. I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my God, that is a situation and a half.
Well, there's the practical thing you can do is stop showering.
Oh, very good. I see what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah, so stop showering, right? Stop brushing your teeth, okay? Be as unhygienic as you can possibly be. Like, have a smell coming out of your room. I don't know, put like, I don't know, like a fish underneath your mattress or something, so there is a stink coming out of your room, you're just smelly, and I'm telling you, the girl will run a mile. Now, the only thing is, the family might decide that you're too smelly to live with them and ask you to leave, so you can't go that far. Maybe just stop brushing your teeth for a couple of weeks. Yeah, and then, yeah, bad breaths, you won't want to be here. But that is practical. Because
is it though? Come on.
It is. Kind of. I mean, it'll be awkward for him for a while going to work, and he might be able to have conversations with many people up close and stuff. But, you know, it will solve the problem of the girl, because she definitely, I mean, you know.
I actually know a similar situation. It didn't involve parents, though. It was just housemates. A friend of mine was renting out a room and he was living with another guy, and then the third room became available to rent, and they ended up renting out to a new girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And no joke, his male housemate and his female housemate, they're now engaged.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. So, but he felt awkward in the situation because at the start, when they had started seeing each other, they weren't telling anybody. So there was this kind of like awkwardness, you know, and they were in the kitchen having dinner together, just the two of them, not inviting him and all. He was kind of like, do these guys hate me or something? Like, what's going on here? And he did say it created a bit of awkwardness. And now, bearing in mind, he's not a parent. He's not like, he didn't own the house. He was just a housemate. So
probably just felt like they were taking over the house and kind of wanted it to themselves.
Yeah, I just personally think, as the girl in this, why would you want to start a relationship with somebody in your parents' home? That's mad to me. I just think it's mad in general. Apart from the parents thing, just being in a home with another couple. Oh no.
The heart wants what the heart wants. And this girl wants this man.
It's unrequited love.
It's unrequited,
though.
But she's not getting it. So I'm telling you, I have the best advice so far. Because okay, what advice are you offering up, guys?
I'm not offering any advice because I don't know what to do.
That's not very helpful.
No, it's not very.
Can he not say he's got I don't know, he's seeing someone else?
What happened to telling the truth, by the way? Like, how come any time I hear about these things, we always find ways to get out of them? What happened to telling the truth? That used to be a good way of getting out of things.
He has tried to tell her, to be fair, like, but she's not getting, she's just...
Let's be real, he hasn't tried hard enough, clearly. Look, I live with you and your family. We can't be at this.
But he went out with her, you see. Yeah, that was the first mistake. That was the first mistake. He went out with her and that gave her the, you know...
confirmation she needed.
Yeah. 087-1102-107. What do you think about this? What do we do? What does he do? What does she do? What does everybody do? Auntie Una is with us here now this morning, trying to get a listener out of a situation that I don't know how he's found himself in it in the first place, but look, we'll do our best to do it, won't we?
So this guy, he is renting a room from a family, and they have an older daughter, and the older daughter has been making it clear that she's, like, you know, pretty attracted to him. She's living at home as well. He caved in and he went out with her to avoid making things awkward in the house. Now, he thinks in hindsight this is obviously a mistake, because she's constantly texting him, knocking at his door to hang out and stuff, and she doesn't seem to be taking the hint, and he's finding it really awkward and he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. And I was basically saying, look, in these situations I feel like, instead of tiptoeing around things, you have to nip them in the bud. You got to be stern, you got to be angry, you got to put your foot down. Let's go to the text.
Warning, get out of there, sunshine. You wake up married to her one morning because they give you some to drink during the night and they baptize you and everything in your sleep.
Now, I just want to put it out there. There was a word used in that. And I didn't know what it meant. So I didn't want to take a chance just in case it meant something really bad. But look, at the end of the day, get out of there, sunshine.
Yeah. Well, that's you see, financially, he says he's kind of, it's not viable at the moment for him, because this is obviously a cheaper rent living with the family.
Nailed it.
So I said, I think he should just stop washing himself and brushing his teeth and being just unhygienic to completely put her off.
Yeah.
But that's probably not, you know, he has to go to work and, you know, he might like being clean. So maybe that's not great advice. Simon is in Newbridge. Simon says, get a pet snake and tell her it likes to sleep next to you at night. Guaranteed she won't go near you again.
No. Can we actually that's come up decent. With something? No, what?
No, no, that's great advice. It's what you, it mightn't be like, you know.
Sorry, I'm rubbing my head here. Sometimes I do things and I think people can see me.
I can see you rubbing your head. Yeah, yeah. I really like that advice.
No,
Simon.
You don't.
I do.
Gina, come on.
Just get the pet snake. Yeah. Connor is in Strand Hill. He says, tell the parent she's wrecking her head. Let them deal with her.
Straight toe. That's very good. I love it. 087-1-102-107. You just heard there, our listeners in a bit of a pickle. What do you think the best way to get out of it is? We'll get to some more of your messages in just a bit. Getting a little bit of anti-Una at the moment. We're seeking out advice for this poor guy who's found himself in a situation. Are you going to summarize it real quickly
for
us? Because this is just like, how do you do this? I don't know.
So this guy has moved into, he's renting a home from a family. They have an older daughter that is living at home as well. She really fancies him. He's not into her. They went on one date. She thinks now they're kind of together. He's been trying to tell her and like give her hints that he's not interested, but she's not taking them. And she keeps coming around, knocking his door, wanting to hang out and stuff. And he doesn't want to create tension in the house and he can't afford to move out. So what should he do?
Jennifer, what do you think he should do?
That guy needs to accidentally, on purpose, send that message to the mom or the dad. Preferably the mom, because she'd act quicker, because the dads are a bit behind the times.
Hey.
Send it to the mom, maybe make it a bit nicer about the parents, how great they are, and he doesn't want to ruin what he has. Send it accidentally, on purpose, let the mom read it, and then be like, oh God, I don't know how, I didn't know how to say it. Just
sent
it to the radio for advice, so the whole world
could
tell me what to
do. I actually like that. It's blatantly obvious, though, that wouldn't be sent on purpose, that it'd be an accident. Do you get me? But it's a good way out of it. You can play it up for sure.
Jude says, morning, folks. For Auntie Una's lad, he needs to bring home a girlfriend or a boyfriend. The girl in the house should back off then. But maybe he's like, it sounds like a dig situation because he's living with the family, so maybe he's not allowed that he.
Bring anyone home.
He's not allowed to bring anyone home.
That would be ruthless, though. Knowing that someone likes you to then bring home a partner and shove it in their face. That's ruthless.
Yeah.
It would work, but.
Oh, would it? She might double down then.
What? Yeah. No.
She might.
Really?
She might double down, yeah.
You never know with these things.
You don't know.
No, you don't.
Jerry says maybe the parents advertise the room to get rid of the daughter.
Oh,
yeah, very interesting.
Very good. So they've almost set it up. So if you went to them in the end for this purpose, they'd probably be encouraging you to take her out. Okay, that's tough. Well, look, I'm none the wiser after all that.
I think the general consensus is loads and loads of messages are coming in now and they're all saying the same thing. He needs to bring another person over to the house a few times so that girl can get the hint.
You can't do that. No, okay. Look, hopefully he gets back in touch and lets us know and hopefully sell us a home after a week.
With Cooper and Una.
Breakfast rolled, all the crack, neatly packed and ready to go.
Time for a game of truth or trash. We're going to deliver a fact or a fact in inverted commas, and we got to try call each other out on it, whether it's true or false. And of course, wherever you're listening right now, you can play along as well. Who would like to go first this morning? Una, you're going last, I presume, as
yep.
always.
Yeah.
Donald, you and me.
I'll go.
Near you.
I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
You're such a gent.
So, thank you. Research has been done. It must be true. People who champion Irish goodbyes at parties save 2 days a year by just disappearing.
Oh, when you add it up.
Yeah, instead of just going, bye, bye-bye, bye-bye.
That reminds me of the fact where it's like, if you live to 90, you sleep for, 30 years of your life?
Oh,
when you add it all up. That's not my fact, by the way. That's an actual fact. It's
wow.
just in return, in response to your maybe fact.
Yeah.
What do you think, Una?
I love an Irish goodbye. Love. Because what's the point? You've got to sneak out. You got to duck out.
Yeah, it takes an extra half an hour to do the goodbyes, doesn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Polite, it does.
Isn't it,
yeah.
To say goodbye and like.
And at that
now.
Stage, you're obviously wrecked. You want to go. You want to get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, there's something waiting for you at home, or you want to stop in. You want to get the chips and
the burger.
And I'd never be mad at somebody for doing it. I'd never care.
Never.
Yeah. Does anybody care?
Well, if it's someone you fancied and you wanted them to stay, yeah, and they deserve it, you're like, oh,
yeah,
rubbish,
you'd be let, but you couldn't be.
You would be disappointed.
You'd be disappointed, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, well, I'm doing an Irish goodbye now because there's no point staying out. I'm going to say your fact is true.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. It's trash. It can't be true. The way you write it out, you're like, research. Wow, must be true. That's what you said. So
it is, and I threw you off.
It's
true. Yeah, the University of New South Wales did the Time Management Institute has found that the farewells, Irish goodbyes at parties can take around 45 minutes when you're trying to leave. So yeah, added up, that is about 2 days a year of doing Irish goodbyes.
Wow. Can you guys hear that music?
Yeah, where is it coming
is
from?
Interesting music.
It's not me. What is going on with that music in the background? Where is it coming from?
It's not me.
Frightening. That's Friday the 13th stuff right there.
Ah.
It was your phone.
It was my phone.
Oh my God, Una. I'm in control of the buttons here. So if everyone listening right now, I am looking around wondering what I'm doing wrong and I couldn't figure anything out.
You gave really dramatic tension.
No, I didn't. It actually worked. That ringtone of yours worked, Una. Oh my
Apologies.
God.
Apologies. No, it wasn't a ringtone. I'm just on
a post.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, right. So. Have you ever heard of the circadian collaboration effect?
I've heard of the circadian rhythm.
Okay. Well, according to a study by the International Sleep Research Institute, humans experience a phenomenon, I can never say that word, oh my gosh.
Phenomenon.
Known as circadian collaboration every Monday morning. Because most people shift their sleep schedules, would you believe, by more than 2 hours over the weekend, the brain's nucleus, the part that controls your internal clock, undergoes a hard reset on Mondays. This causes a temporary spike in cortisol that is actually 15% higher than any other day of the week, which is why the first cup of coffee on a Monday morning feels like it does absolutely nothing.
You gave us a Friday fact on Friday about the Friday feeling, and now you're giving us a Monday feeling fact.
Which were both completely different, weren't they, when you think about it?
Yeah.
Friday versus Monday, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say I would have believed it up until you said the coffee, that is why coffee doesn't have any effect on a Monday morning because of the cortisol spike.
I've had four coffees this morning.
Four?
I'm on coffee number four. I haven't felt a thing.
Now. You're on your sixth.
Well, I fill it up three times in the flask, and this is my...
That's a big flask you got there, Donal.
It's just three Americanos fitting it nicely.
Three Americanos fitting that. You've had two of them.
It's needed. Yeah, this is nearly the end of my second.
And is it working?
I suppose so. Like,
you don't know.
I'm awake.
He's awake, yeah.
You don't know, though. Maybe it's your circadian collaboration, huh?
I'm going to say that's trash.
Okay.
Yeah... I'm going to say trash. Yeah.
Oh, you guys. Well done. It's not true at all. Well done. The coffee gave it away. Good to know.
Coffee gave it away.
That's okay.
You went into too much detail. I often make that mistake myself.
When you're lying.
Yeah, when I'm lying.
Okay, right. Let's see what happens here then. Una, off you go.
So we know that Roscommon is known as the county of the sheep stealers.
No, I didn't know
See,
that.
See, every day is a school day, Marty.
To me, it's about Rockford's nightclub.
Yeah. Oh, Roscommon is a great place. Love Roscommon.
Yeah.
And the sheep love Roscommon. Loads of sheep there. Fabulous spot for the sheep to live.
Okay.
They really enjoy it there. They holiday there, right?
The sheep from all over Ireland go to holiday in Roscommon, do they?
Yeah, it's a great spot. That's not my fact, no. But the sheep there, Roscommon is known as the county of the sheep stealers, right? And Roscommon, they're mad for sheep. So, anyway, because of this, there is a new petition going through the Shannon at the moment, and it's proposing that people getting married in Roscommon can now be allowed to have their pet sheep as a witness to their wedding.
Pet sheep.
Well, pet sheep, yeah, because there are many pet sheep there.
You bring the flock into the church, like.
Why not, Donald? Why not?
Yeah.
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 They're always talking about a flock.
Don't get defensive now, Una.
Church.
We're just asking questions.
Yeah, questioning.
But doesn't
rubbish,
the priest be talking about, you know, the flock of the Lord? So the flock of sheep could be the church.
The flock of the Lord.
So take the metaphor and make it real, yeah.
Yeah, but why not?
I've seen people do with their pet dogs before.
There you go. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, like, let's not discriminate now across the different animal breeds.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, Marty. You're right.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say it's true, Una.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on this one. I'm going to say, yeah, absolutely. Get married with your pet sheep by your side.
I don't know why you're giving it the benefit. No, trash.
instead of pure hoping.
Oh, Jodel, ye of little faith. You'd be right, I do. Obviously.
Oh! I mean, got my hopes up for
a
second.
Not to say that it hasn't happened or it won't happen in the future, but I don't believe that there's a bill going through the Senate at the moment proposing that.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, it'd be lovely.
It would be nice. We'll all get married along the flock of sheep. Okay.
Oh, that'd be gorgeous. Think of the pictures.
Think of the pictures.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't go and ask a sheep. Oh, did you witness this marriage?
Yeah.
Don't worry, we've squashed in all the crack and served it up here. High
Mornings with Cooper and Una.
Breakfast rolled.
I have an interesting one for you this morning, and I'd love to know what you think on it, because I realised recently when I was away in Lanzarote that myself and my other half, our diets completely changed. Now, I know you're listening thinking, well, you're on holiday. Of course it changes. And, like, maybe the amount you eat goes up, etc. But I realised that when I was over there, I eat things that I would never actually eat at home. Like, never. And I don't know what it is that makes me do it, whether it's the heat or whether it's because I'm on holiday. And the thing that I basically drink, I dip everything into it. I absolutely devour hummus when I'm away on holidays. Devour it.
So random.
You're like, don't make me sick.
No, I love hummus.
But so you do love it?
I do like it.
I love it,
yeah.
It too, but I don't eat it. And like, I found this lovely pot of hummus when I was away, and I had three different types of hummus in one pot. So it was like three different triangles. Oh, and it was, it was so good. It was like ordinary hummus, then it was like a curried hummus, then it was a chili hummus. Now I didn't even know you can get different flavors of hummus.
Ooh, chili hummus sounds nice.
It was good, yeah. So I was using that for the bag of crisps because, like, you know, dipping it in, trying the different flavors, etc. And then I don't eat it at home. And then that's when I came in and I was like, lads, is there anything that you eat when you're on holidays that you don't eat at home? And there was people actually answering the question, so I thought, okay, I'm not weird.
No. I would tend to eat a lot more bread when I'm on holidays.
More bread?
Because you know the way, like, if you're in your restaurant and they bring out bread at the start and they bring out all the lovely tapenades and the olive oils and the vinaigrettes and you're just like, nom, 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 nom,
yeah,
nom, nom,
olive, nom, nom. The oils, I'm with you on that. I never have them at home,
so
but I have them on away.
And you
feel
so fancy. I'm like, oh my God, look at me. I'm here dipping my bread in olive oil. Whereas if I was home, I'd just be slabbered up in butter.
Butter,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you feel...
Yeah, butter on holidays is never the same, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. So you feel very sophisticated with your tapenades and all the fancy stuff. Yeah, the olive oils. So,
Donald,
yeah.
How about you?
It's just more like when you're in the hotels and stuff in the morning, the breakfast is there and there's fruit just... You get a fruit salad handy, and then you're like, oh, I'd never have this at home. I just wouldn't.
No, you'd be horse issue with
sausage. You'd be like, yeah.
Sorry.
You would. And then you're like, oh, look at me. I'm by the sea in the sand. I'm all healthy.
Oh, my God. That's, melon. Yeah, yeah. Watermelon. Oh, that's a really good one. I have watermelon and yogurt together when I'm abroad as part of the hotel breakfast. I'd never, ever buy them at home and have them at home. But I have yogurt and watermelon separate, but together away. Yeah.
I'd have the fry up as well. I'd just be like, oh, the fruit's there. So I'll have,
fruit first course.
Yeah, I'll be healthy and then I won't be.
So you have the fruit before the fry?
Yeah.
Fruit so before the fry. Balance is everything. Yeah.
Oh, there's so much going on there, Donal. I'm just like, I don't know. Yeah, no. Do you eat fruit when you're home?
No.
Oh, never? You don't ever eat it anyway?
Not really at all, no. Just have a smoothie the odd day, maybe. But that's it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I like the convenience of a smoothie. Okay. Yeah. 087-1102-107. You've heard ours. We would love to hear this morning. Is there anything that you eat when you're abroad on holidays that you never eat at home? We are chatting about things that you eat while you're away or consume while you're away on holidays that you might not do when you are at home. And the reason why we're talking about it is recently I realized that I absolutely devour hummus when I'm away, but I never touch it when I'm here in Ireland. And I was like salivating at the, remembering the fact that there was this like pot of hummus that had three different triangle pots in it and had chili hummus and curried hummus and normal hummus. And it was just a great day all around for everybody. Oh, it was so good.
Delish.
Yeah, it was really, really good. We were asking her in the office about this as well. Sharon, who's on after us here, iced tea.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't be an iced tea man at all. I don't know about you guys.
No. Not massively, no.
No, Aisling said Lay's. And then sometimes you wonder, do people realise that Lay's and Walkers are the same crisp? So we said, well, do you Walkers when you're at home? And she said, no. So it was literally a case of just eating the Lay's.
My missus, this is from Cormac and Galway. My missus eats that raw mince when we're on holidays.
Oh, no.
It's literally that mince that's actually raw. There's a name for it and I can't think.
Oh, it's they used to, when I lived in Lyon in France for a year.
Oh, that's the food capital of France, isn't it?
It's the food capital of Europe, apparently.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's steak tartare, I think.
Nailed it. Tartare.
And
tartare.
It comes with like a, does it come with a raw egg on it as well?
It comes with a raw egg on it, yeah. It was huge in Lyon as a starter.
That's, did you ever taste it?
No, I didn't. Which is tough. I'm horrific. I'm a foodie's worst nightmare. I got my steak well done and everything. You know,
yeah.
And even especially over in Lyon, if you're asking for your meat well done, they give that you the filthiest of luck. Yeah. And their rare is just like, sure, straight out of the fields. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's shocking.
But so it's just, you're having a raw egg on top of raw mince. I mean, like, is there not a fear of, you know, bacteria salmonella coming
apparently,
at you?
Apparently, again, no, I am not a nutritionist. This is not advice for anybody listening. I just need to preface that. Apparently, if you want to absorb all the nutrients that you get from the healthy fats from the eggs and the protein from the meat and the egg, raw is the best way to, because when you're cooking them, you start kind of burning all that sort of stuff. Look,
yeah.
I don't know what the terminology is. Apparently, raw is the way to go.
You're going to raw dog that
stuff. Exactly, yeah. And if you're big into the gym, you'll see people who are way too into it, for my liking.
Mm.
Necking like 4 to 6 eggs raw in the morning.
Can't cope.
You can't be doing that.
Can't, no. Just that, even I can taste it now. I hate a gooey egg. Like,
anyway.
Can't cope with a gooey egg.
Yeah.
Raw. I can taste it in my mouth now.
Yeah, if I'm eating the eggs, they need to be proper fried and crispy in the olive oil. There's absolutely no way I'm going near. I've never even tried it. I went through a phase of being obsessed with the gym as well. And
yeah.
I did some mad things, but that wasn't one of them, no way.
You didn't raw dog your food.
I didn't.
No.
See that? 087.
Missed the show? Don't worry. We've squashed in all the crack and served it up here.
High mornings with Cooper and Una.
Breakfast rolled.